The crisis in Ukraine from Russia's invasion is setting off a global food crisis on a scale that we haven't seen potentially ever before.
I'm Annie Reese. This is Politico Dispatch.
My name is Meredith Lee. I'm a food and agriculture reporter at Politico.
Panic buying is back.
Shortages of food, skyrocketing prices.
But instead of people cleaning out store shelves looking for toilet paper, it's governments hoarding food supply.
The humanitarian crisis inside Ukraine is slamming into global food systems really already badly damaged by climate disasters and the COVID-19 pandemic. And so these compounding, ricocheting disasters are piling up on each other, creating a situation that we haven't seen before, even in prior instances with drought and other climate disasters by themselves. Administration officials, U.S. lawmakers across the world are really unsure of where this will stop.
On the show today, Meredith Lee on one of the ripple effects from Putin's invasion of Ukraine, the upcoming global food crisis.
So Russia and Ukraine together provide about 30% of the world's supply of wheat, and Ukraine alone provides about 15% of the world's corn supply. And so in a nutshell, what Russian President Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine has set off is a humanitarian crisis inside a region that produces a major source of nutrition for millions of people across the Middle East, Africa, and Europe. And that has unleashed a growing crisis that is rippling through global food systems already under immense strain from climate disasters and the COVID-19 pandemic. So the immediate fallout is that governments across the Middle East, Africa, and Europe who normally get a large percentage of their food supply from Ukraine and Russia, are now scrambling for a new source of food for their populations. That higher demand and the lack of supply is sending wheat and corn prices skyrocketing in the past few weeks.
So this has resulted in a lot of panic buying, especially from China, which you've been writing about.
Right. China and other countries are kind of adding to the pressure on our food system by essentially panic buying, buying up wheat, corn, other food supplies. China currently has about half of the world's wheat supply in storage.
Whoa.
And so U.S. lawmakers in particular that I've been talking to are concerned that China will eventually use those reserves as a political cudgel going forward against countries in Africa and the Middle East when those governments really are desperate for supplies of grain.
Yeah, and you mentioned we're seeing these massive price spikes already, but what's the kind of time period for when supply starts running out? Like how soon is this going to be felt, or is there more of a delayed impact?
A United Nations agency last week said that countries across parts of Africa and the Middle East are already starting to experience these price spikes and shortages as a result of the invasion of Ukraine. And so the most vulnerable countries are going to be hit the hardest. And those populations are already starting to feel this. For example, in Lebanon, the UN estimates about 22% of families in the country are food insecure. And that country imports about 80% of its wheat supply from Russia and Ukraine together. So obviously any kind of disruptions to the food supply there is going to have immense devastating effects on hunger and living conditions in that area.
And you mentioned that now a lot of European, Middle Eastern, and African countries are basically running out of food storage right now and will need to look at new sources to buy food. But where? From where would that come from?
That's a good question. So the United States itself is a major grain exporter of wheat, corn, and other products. And so price spikes in the United States were expected to be insulated from the worst of those. And U.S. farmers who produce a lot of grain can fill some of the voids that Ukraine has left behind. But we definitely can't make up all of that production. As the prices increase for food staples, countries will be increasingly dire shape looking for supplies. One concern among U.S. lawmakers is that China, with immense grain reserves right now, is going to be able to use those reserves as political currency, as a political cudgel against countries in Africa and the Middle East as things get more dire.
And are there other large producers? Like, I was reading, like, is Brazil a place that could also ramp up its production?
Right. I mean, that's a super interesting point, too. There are all these different crises that are kind of slamming into each other. You know, ongoing problems from the pandemic, from climate disasters. With Brazil and Argentina in particular, South America in that area has experienced widespread drought over the past few months. And they're normally huge producers of grain, along with the U.S. and Ukraine. But ongoing climate disasters in that region of the world, in Argentina and Brazil, their production of staple crops like corn and soybeans, wheat, are down. That's also impacting the food supply as we think about Ukraine. Large producing countries other than Ukraine are also struggling to produce food after climate disasters, drought, other things. And so we're really seeing the ripple effects of those climate disasters on top of the new crisis in Ukraine.
And you mentioned that China, by stockpiling all this grain, there's a fear that they could then use it as kind of a political cudgel for poorer countries. Could you just, like, go into more detail there? Or like, how might that play out? Like, what exactly does that mean?
Sure. So Biden administration officials who are following this are basically concerned that China, who is well known for, or is very good at using its commodities and other resources, basically to be able to manipulate other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, lawmakers are concerned that China will agree to sell or even give grain to countries in need, but they'll need to do essentially things that China wants in return.
Gotcha. And so we know that President Biden is heading to Europe this week. Is this something that you're expecting he's going to be discussing with European leaders?
We expect Biden to talk about the need for humanitarian assistance, food assistance in particular for Ukraine. Millions of people in the country, and once major food exporting country, are now forced into bomb shelters, running out of food themselves. And so international organizations are trying to get food into Ukraine to feed those people. And so that'll be one of the president's focus this week, getting that kind of assistance into Ukraine. And another thing that might come up this week, though it's less of a focus, is the trade relationship between the EU and the United States, which has been strained in the past few years, and particularly on food products. So over the past few decades, since the 1990s, Europe in particular has tried to keep out genetically modified foods from its markets. And that is something that is pretty prevalent in U.S. grain and U.S. food products. And one thing that this new crisis, the potential strain on Europe's food supply, might do is that might increase European politicians' appetite to increase basically food trade with the United States. So things like grain and other products that European countries are looking for right now to replace that they lost from Ukraine, that could potentially be provided by the United States. So the European Union might waive some import restrictions it originally had on American products, genetically modified foods, grains, things like that, and to get them from the United States instead of having to go to China or other countries.
So as this continues to develop, what are you most closely watching or looking out for?
So I think basically we're seeing two crises unfold here. There's the immediate crisis of the food supply for not only Ukraine itself, but other countries across the Middle East, Africa, Europe, that are in desperate need for a new supply of food. And that is unfolding right now. And another on top of this, the added pressure from climate disasters, from food supplies recovering from the pandemic, that will ripple through the global food supply for years to come. And so the larger crisis that will unfold is that Ukraine, once a major food exporting country, is likely not going to be able to contribute to the global food supply for 2022 and very likely for 2023. And so the long-term Wow. changes to trade, to global hunger, that this will unleash and reshape so much of our world is something that is not quite known right now and that we'll be watching going forward.
Meredith Lee, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Also in the news, President Joe Biden warned Monday about potential Russian cyber attacks against the U.S., making his most prominent alert yet about the intelligence concerning the Putin regime's plans. The administration has previously warned of Russian cyber attacks in Ukraine and elsewhere, but Biden's statement on Monday referred to new intelligence. And the Securities and Exchange Commission announced a new proposed rule that companies would be required to disclose their greenhouse gas emissions and be held to account on their climate promises. The commission is scheduled to vote Monday to publish the proposal, setting off a period for public comment. If adopted, this would deliver a big policy win for Biden. Today's episode of Politico Dispatch included music composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Be sure to follow Politico Dispatch if you haven't yet, and if you can, leave us a rating and review. It helps more people find the show. I'm Annie Reese. Thanks so much for listening.